What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Monday, July 31st, 2023. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the pink one at Tim Gettys.
I'm so pink.
See the shoes?
Usually when you really nail the outfit, when it's not just a black MeUndies shirt, you're dressing for something.
No, just because. Yeah, well, Joey went to the Taylor Swift Eras tour.
She sure did.
This weekend.
Sure
I didn't.
Did. No.
But I was feeling
you're wearing
the
your Tom Cruise.
So I'm wearing my Tom Cruise.
I like that.
Ethan Hunt.
I like that.
Eras tour.
Yeah.
And then, no, just like the outfit just works so well. So I was like, gotta use this up as much as I can before it's like not appropriate to wear anymore. I don't know when that'll happen because Ethan Hunt is forever.
Sure. It's just timely, right?
One day you're going to learn, Greg. I know you're not an action guy, but one day you're going to see Tom Cruise run and it's going to change you.
I've seen him run.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He runs so well.
He does run really well.
He runs so fast.
Timothy Gettys?
Yes.
Talk to me about your Pokemon Go weekend. Because I saw you out there carrying the palms. Mm-hmm. I saw you out there dressed completely in black in the sun. That was a choice.
You know, it's a myth, though. The whole wearing black thing with the heat.
Yeah.
It's a myth.
It's mainly the pants. If you're wearing shorts, you're feeling good. Air's moving down there.
Yeah. I got some bird dogs, Greg.
You know, goddamn right, you got some bird dogs.
So yeah, I'm going to start wearing shorts on some of these walks, depending on how hot it's going to be.
Yeah.
Did pretty good. Not too sunburned. A little bit of.
No, you have color.
I have some.
You have
color.
A pop of color.
Yeah.
I have a pop of color too. I don't know how much it shows in the light, but
yeah.
But I've also been better, you know, with Ben of being outside all the time, so I often have pops of color.
Yeah.
But it's like. Like when I got home, you see like the neckline.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Barrett, give me the one on my. Oh, Barrett's coming in right now. You got that neckline there. You can see where it goes from a pink boy to a white boy. You know what I mean?
I'm just always a pink boy. But
me too.
Last weekend walked about 6 miles. This weekend walked about 10 miles. It was insane.
Are you noticing dropping the LBs?
No. If anything, it's going up.
You're just eating burritos while
How is that possible to?
Yeah. You know what? It's a myth. Everything is a myth.
Here. Wow, damn. Everything.
But yeah, no, it was wild because we went to Pier 39, which is like the mecca of Pokemon Go in the world. Like,
oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's like one of the most concentrated spots, which I think Niantic's office is down there.
They are.
So
they are
I think that
there.
That kind of makes some
that
sense.
Makes sense.
But yeah, we went super hard. There was a big event happening, so I wanted to take advantage of it all.
What was the event this weekend?
And I don't know. It was called some adventure, some shit, whatever.
Okay.
It was like a bunch of fossil Pokemon. The Aerodactyls,
Butos,
the Ammonites. They're all out there. But the big thing was Andrew Goldfarb hit me up, and he's like, every Pokestop that you've never been to is going to be like 10 times the amount of experience if you do a certain thing. And I was like, oh man, I've never been to the Mecca, Pier 39.
And there's just a bunch of Pokestops.
There's just so many. So I was like, we're just going to crush this all day.
Sure.
And so we did, and it was awesome. Dogs loved it. Everyone loved the dogs. It was like they were an attraction
to
their own.
Pokemon on their own. Did they have little costumes on? Did you put
no costumes, but they were just walking. But it did hit a point where Moose was like, I'm just done. I'm not walking anymore.
This is it. I'm
you
over.
Went way too far. So then I had to carry him, and I carried him for about 3 miles.
There it is.
And
look how happy he is, though.
Yo, he was such a happy dude. But he was what made it way too hot.
Yeah.
Way
sure.
too hot.
Yeah, sure. That
but
makes sense.
It was super fun. I gained like a level and a half, man. I'm crushing. I'm on
nothing,
my way.
Man. That ain't nothing. I'm saying if you're not paying attention, audience members who aren't as high, that is something.
Yeah.
That ain't nothing. That's a lot in a day.
Exactly. So I'm feeling real good about that.
Where's Gia at with the Pokemon Go?
She's not getting into it. She's sticking with Marvel Snap, and she's just like, I'm going to support you.
I was going to say, but she enjoys exercise and outdoors, so she's happy to have you out of the basement.
It's her. She's already like, what are we doing next weekend? She's like so in on this, and I'm like, cool. Like let's keep it going. But then I went home, started watching Twisted Metal, or continued watching Twisted.
Okay.
Metal. Halfway through.
How are we feeling?
Halfway through. It's surprisingly good. Again, not for everybody, and it is Twisted Metal. You know what I mean? It's not like it's this thing of like, for everyone that was like, why are they making this show? Who gives a fuck about these characters? Yes, that's the point is not giving a fuck about the characters. But it's like weirdly heartfelt, weirdly funny.
Right? That's what I felt at the end of the premiere.
Yeah, and I was like, holy shit, there's something here. I'm excited to keep watching it. I'm like, I'm seeing a lot of people that I respect, Zavalier out there. What's it called? El Paso Elsewhere? Is that the name of the game's coming out?
Yeah,
so it looks dope as fuck. So he's making that, and he was talking about him watching it, and he's like, I am so stoked for a season two. Like, and so I'm like, whoa, so there's even better stuff to come. So, yeah, big surprise. You know, some of us might have called it, you know. But
Blessing did. But did anybody call rumors about Nintendo's next console,
no way.
Our Venmo review, and so much more. We'll find out on this episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, of course, be part of the show for free at kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give us your questions, comments, and concerns about the day's news. Of course, give us your squad up requests. And then tune in live to watch us record the show on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames and youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, guess what, Jack? You got a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Podcast services around the globe. Of course, if you want to go that extra mile, head on over to patreon.com/kindoffunny. On patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can get each and every episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily ad-free. And if that wasn't enough, of course, you could watch us record our podcasts ad-free, like the Kinda Funny podcast recording this afternoon.
I'm excited for it.
In which I
that's why I dressed up. Whenever we're on a podcast, I get my full body shot. And I'm like, all right, the shoes and pants matter more.
For 40 years, ladies and gentlemen, I've wondered something. And I'm going to ask these motherfuckers what their answer is when we start the Kinda Funny podcast this afternoon. You can watch live on patreon.com/kindoffunny. Of course, you can watch later on patreon.com/kindoffunny, where it would also be ad-free as a video and an MP3, where you could also get more than 300 exclusive episodes of content we've done since October. And, of course, where you get some exclusive merch. And let me tell you, there's amazing things on Patreon each and every day. Every month, there's a physical item. We tweet it out, and then we put it in, and we Z'd it out. I don't know how you say it now with the X. You know, the X, I fucking hate it. I put it on the Patreon page. I say, yo, I updated here. The premium item that is going to get announced this week, I want three of these.
Yeah.
Okay?
Three. Why three?
Because I want to save them for when I burn them out. I've burned out some of the other ones without giving their shirts, everybody. I've burned out some of the other exclusive Patreon content. So I pick up like the sirens that are on our end and it's all like wrinkly. It's all not wrinkly. It's like it's all broken up. And I'm like, oh man, I miss this shirt. I like this shirt. You know, same with the KFAF Spring Break.
Mm.
Another great shirt, but looks like garbage now. I need new shirts, but I have too many shirts. It's a whole thing. We'll talk about
thing,
it.
Man.
Look forward to that on patreon.com/kindoffunny, of course, tomorrow. If you have no bucks to toss our way, though, of course, like I said, get the show for free and support us with that there Epic Game Code, creator code, kindoffunny, when you're checking out the Epic Store or when you're playing Fortnite, Rock League, etc. on the platform of your choice. Housekeeping for you. One of the fundraising goals you helped us hit back during the launch of the spare bedroom was the 4 special presentations from Barrett. His third one is premiering tomorrow, and it's Zelda in Review Part 2. That'll be premiering at 2 p.m. tomorrow right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Barrett, how stoked are you to have this monkey off your back?
Very excited. It's been a labor of love. I posted up over on... Are we just do we have to call it X?
No.
Is that the thing? Is that the thing?
We can keep calling it Twitter because it's a dumb name, and eventually it'll be dead, and we'll just go to Threads.
Yeah. So I tweeted out essentially some fun factoids, just like over the course of 6 months, put roughly 140 hours into 4 different Zelda games in total. I never keep track of how long it takes me to write a script. 5.5 hours of recording, 60 hours of editing, all put together into 188-minute video, which will premiere tomorrow at 2 p.m. Pacific. It'll be me reviewing the Minish Cap, the Oracle games, and Tears of the Kingdom, talking about them all in their spoiler-filled glory, and adding them to my ranking, which has not been updated since Zelda in Review Part 1 came out in 2020, which is weird, Tim.
Because
I think of Zelda in Review as like a 2019 thing.
I would think even 2017, you know what I mean? Time means nothing to me.
I know.
Nothing.
But like that's because I worked on most of that project in 2019, and it's weird that Zelda in Review came out 10 days before we started working from home.
Yeah.
Which is really fucking weird.
God, that sucks. I hate it.
Perfect timing, though, with the Oracle games just coming to Nintendo Switch Online last week.
I know. I couldn't have asked for like better like slight promo on Nintendo's end of like, hey, Oracle games are out now. So there you go.
Everyone get excited.
Of course, that's there because of your support on patreon.com/kindoffunny. Just like Kinda Munchies, we're doing a run of Kinda Munchies where Mike tries new foods and does weird things and people eat weird stuff. Episode 1 was recorded last week. I believe it's up on its own already. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, episode 2 recording today after this stream, or after Kinda Funny Games Daily on the stream, but it's all one stream. You know what I'm talking about. If that wasn't enough weird, out-of-pocket, kind of funny content for you. I went to San Diego Comic-Con, and I hosted a game of Kind of Feudy after the premiere of Twisted Metal. The sponsored episode is up for free right now on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. How many times can people say chocolate? Find out and see which team wins the three PS5s. Never seen me work my magic at a San Diego Comic-Con panel, this is your chance to go in there and see me totally rip off Blessing's game and make the crowd play. And then just that there, I think that's the drunk guy right there too. He was great. Now, he wasn't, there was always that line with it being a drunk guy.
Yeah.
He was the fun
good drunk guy.
He added to the content, but even surprisingly, he wasn't even the most like not paying attention. It doesn't matter. It's a great episode of Kind of Feudy. If you've never seen Kind of Feudy, you should check it out. Then go to patreon.com/kindoffunny where you can get a whole bunch of different Kind of Feudy episodes. Don't mention in the comments my sunburn. Thank you to our Patreon producer who sees all the Kind of Feudies, Delaney Twining. Today we're brought to you by Honey, BetterHelp, and Shady Rays. We'll talk about that later.
Yes, we will.
For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. 8 items on the Roper Report.
A Baker's Dozen.
Number 1 with a bullet, ladies and gentlemen. Sources say Nintendo targets 2024 with next-gen console. This is Andy Robinson at VGC. Development kits for Nintendo's next console are now with key partner studios, with launch planned for next year, sources have told VGC. According to multiple people with knowledge of Nintendo's next-gen console plans, the company is likely to release new hardware during the second half of 2024. To ensure that it will have ample stock available on day one and to avoid the kind of shortages seen with the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X/S. Although specific details on the console are being kept closely guarded, those VGC spoke to indicated that the next-gen console would be able to be used in portable mode.
Yay!
Similar to Nintendo Switch. Two sources VGC spoke to suggested that the console could launch with an LCD screen instead of the more premium OLED in order to bring down costs, especially considering the increased storage needed for higher fidelity games. The current Switch comes with just 32 gigabytes of internal memory, while many current-gen PlayStation and Xbox games are over 100 gigabytes. Like its predecessor, the new Nintendo console will also accept physical games via a cartridge slot.
Yay!
Sources say. Other details, such as backwards compatibility support for Switch games, physical and digital, remains unclear. Nintendo did not immediately respond to VGC's request for comment on this story. Tim?
Not surprising.
Is it finally time?
Yes. I mean, it all makes sense, right? Like, it's one of those things we've talked about this for so long in some way, shape, or form. We are still talking about the successor, what that looks like, what it's going to be called, how it's going to function.
Super Nintendo Switch.
We'll see. I feel like that's very doubtful, but again, it's Nintendo. There is no predicting.
Put up the WNDs in the chat. Weird Nintendo decisions. Come on, chat.
Left and right. I had this a moment of realization about a week ago, Greg. I was getting into the shower, getting my shower thoughts going. You know, getting all warmed up, souped up, all that stuff.
You putting the soap straight on your body, you putting it under like a loofah or a rag?
It's a loofah type situation. There's been a debate at this office that concerns me. But the thing that concerns me more is I realized, when the next Switch comes out, it's not going to be OLED. For sure, they're going to fuck that up. And it's going to really, really upset me. I don't know how I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to be very annoying to everybody out there this. It's not going to be fun. The OLED on the Switch makes it such a better experience. It is such a nice screen.
I'll tell you what. Jen's sister just left this morning. Lovely lady. It was nice to have her visit alongside her boyfriend. I came upstairs one of these days, 2 days ago. She was playing her Switch. Oh, she's playing Binding Isaac. You know, she got a gajillion hours, and that's great. She went downstairs. I was playing stuff on the couch, and then I moved the Switch, and I picked it up, and it was an original Switch. And I was like, I recoiled.
Yeah.
I've been using the OLED for so long now. I don't even think about how gorgeous that is. I hate the bezel of the old Switch.
Great
all that
on
stuff.
The one. Yeah. And that stuff, I think that the design philosophy, I think, will carry on to the next one. They tend to just get better with time with the designs of stuff. But yeah, the OLED thing's unfortunate. I feel like we'll get an OLED model down the line for that, you know, second burst of money for Nintendo. And that sucks. But overall, very excited for a new Switch, not just because of all the obvious reasons of wanting more power, Switch already being outdated at this point.
Sure.
But for me, I always get excited with Nintendo when a new generation starts, because it kind of resets the clock on franchises. And it kind of is like, all right, cool, we can revisit Mario Kart. We can revisit, even some of the bigger things like a Smash Brothers and Mario games, Zelda games, things like that. Like, we get to start getting excited about what the next gen version of those things looks like. And with the Switch, we've kind of seen the franchises play out. Like, I think that it's very clearly at the end of its life cycle. We still have a handful or more of games coming out of different degrees of importance and like weight for people, but we have Mario Wonder, right? A new 2D Wahoo! Mario game. That's obviously a huge deal. But even besides that, we got the WarioWare we were talking about, some other ports, Luigi's Mansion to Dark Moon being ported from the 3DS. I imagine we'll still continue to get more ports. There's no way the Switch ends its life without Wind Waker and Twilight Princess being ported. So yeah, I'm just excited for that, for like being able to get to that moment where we're starting to get the big teases for what's next.
Big games, yeah. Co-op 64 writes in, just like you can, for free at kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, good morning, Greg and Tim. With the news that we could be seeing a new Switch in late 2024, what do you expect the rollout of the console to be? Clear your mind, Timothy Geddes. Will we get any more directs focused on the current Switch?
Yeah.
You have to, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you figure, well, hold on, I guess I should read through all these before I get that.
Yeah. Time.
Will there be any more bangers for the original Switch after Mario Wonder? That's a no.
There's Metroid Prime 4. Like, the looming thing that, like...
You think it's going to be a original Breath of the Wild situation and the other one that I always forget, the other Zelda that did...
Twilight Princess.
Thank you.
My problem with it is Metroid Prime doesn't have that juice.
Sure.
It doesn't have the, like, the market share and the ability to move units like that. Having said that, Zelda wasn't ever the biggest seller either. So yeah. We're in a new era. I just still...
Even how did Prime re-release do? Remaster do?
Really well, but like...
Not like...
Relative. Again, okay. The Switch is just like an amplifier for sales for all these franchises. We were just talking last week on the show about how the majority of franchises, even if they're just ports coming to Switch for the first time, already sells more than like the entire history,
for sure.
Sometimes combined of titles, with rare exception being the Mario Sports titles and WarioWare. But Metroid Dread performing super well, Prime Remastered performing super well. You'd imagine Prime 4, if it's good, which I expect it to be,
it better
after
be.
All this time,
yeah,
and with
exactly.
Retro involved. I mean, Retro hasn't done anything bad. You know, they've had some that weren't as perfect as other things, but like Retro are top freaking tier, and they haven't put out a game since Tropical Freeze, man.
Outrageous to
think
about.
Outrageous. So there's definitely a banger there, hopefully, and I can see them being like, yeah, cool, it is cross-platform, whatever that means, cross-gen between the two. But it being a launch title, something about that doesn't sit right with me. But at the same time, I don't necessarily think that the Switch is going to switch to whatever it is going to have a Breath of the Wild. Like, the fact that we got Breath of the Wild at the launch of the Switch is such a special rarity. Like, launch titles being the banger of the system, Mario 64, Breath of the Wild, that's pretty much it. Otherwise, Halo 1, like, besides that, it's like normally third parties kind of bolstering things, or
yeah,
just like more iterative things and like a taste of what might happen down the line.
The Sir Pint just went through in the chat. Sorry, so I can't give you, it's already gone. But the question there was saying, oh, they won't have I think there's a conversation in the chat. They won't have a Zelda ready, but they will have Mario Odyssey 2 ready.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that'd be amazing.
Fuck,
like, yeah. Really, really, really amazing. And what's that team been working on? You know, that's,
yeah,
that is it. My favorite thing is looking at Nintendo's teams right now and being like, there are still so many questions. Same thing with PlayStation. Like, PlayStation Studios and Nintendo, Xbox, we know. We kind of can look at all their first parties and
sure,
make either educated guesses, or we explicitly know.
Or they told us, like, yo, we're working on games. They're coming.
What they're
the
working
dominoes
on.
Are lining up, God damn it.
And so I think that with PlayStation, because of what its showcase was last a couple months ago, where it focused so much on the multiplayer side of things, that
yeah,
left so many single-player focused studios with us being like, what's it going to be? When's it going to be? All of that. And we're going to get those answers eventually.
Yeah.
With Nintendo, there are still so many teams that we just don't know what they've been working on, or what they've been working on in the last couple of years hasn't been like the highest profile stuff. Like, the Mario Kart team put out Mario Kart 8 Deluxe and ARMS. And then there's been all the Mario Kart 8 DLC,
right? Yeah.
Which is, you know, I'm not a scientist, not a game developer, but all that is for the most part courses that already exist being reimagined in the Mario Kart 8 style, which requires a lot of work, but significantly less than a whole new video game.
You don't imagine that entire team is working on all those courses, right?
Like, yeah.
Maybe they've split them up and are divvying up, but somebody should be working on pre-pro and what the next thing would be and going where hopefully Mario Kart.
But even then, I imagine that working on all of the Mario Kart booster pass stuff, which there are some original levels, there's brand new content in it, and let alone the music and all that that is like completely new and in the style of Mario Kart 8, I can't imagine that the entire DLC project was any more laborious than the porting of Mario Kart 8 Deluxe to begin with. And they did that alongside ARMS,
yeah,
which was a brand new IP and brand new game, completely different than what they've done before. So what else have they been working on? I imagine there has been something. Is it another Mario Kart or is it something different? Grezzo, what are they up to? Then the Mario teams are really interesting because you look at Nintendo EAD and it gets complicated with how they name themselves and even like who's working on what. I feel more director focused as opposed to like team focused. But what is the Odyssey team working on? Now that we have the Mario Wonder team, like how many of the people that worked on Odyssey are actually working on Wonder as well? They do share a lot of resources in that way. So it's going to be interesting to see when those questions start to be answered and what that looks like for the launch title. If obviously the strategy worked for Nintendo, have Breath of the Wild, have this amazing game alongside amazing hardware that gets people excited.
Yeah.
People are still excited about the Switch and the concept of the Switch. Will the Switch 2 have the same type of the whole world is in on this factor, or is it going to be, it won't be a Wii U situation, but like, will it kind of just be like a GameCube situation after the N64 or something like that for modern times? I don't know. And then you really got to look at one thing, Greg.
Yeah.
Animal Crossing.
Exactly. That's my thing is I don't know if Switch 2 out the gate blows the doors off. Can't keep them on shelves. Oh my God. Like I don't, that's always lightning in a bottle. Hard to predict. Yada, yada, yada. It's more of when it's got an install base and yes, the next Animal Crossing, the next Mario Kart, the next Zelda drops. That's when it's like, they are going to be fine. As long as they don't make a WND and totally change control methods and this, that, and the other and ditch the portability. And yet, like, if they just make the Switch better and then make the games people love for it, they're going to be fine. That thing's going to sell just fine.
Yeah.
Co-op 64 has one final question for you. Will the announcement come for the new Switch, obviously, from a YouTube video on a random Thursday in October like the original Switch? I don't remember feeling like the Switch came, like it was just like farted out. I remember it being a big deal. We all watched.
Oh, I mean, it was farted.
Was it? I don't remember.
Yeah,
that.
There was the.
You know me, I don't remember any history.
There's just a tweet that went up of creepy Mario behind peeking out the curtain.
Yeah, well, that was like, we have something coming. Like, tomorrow. Yeah. Well, that's like teasing an announcement. That's not the announcement.
Yeah, but then the announcement was just a YouTube video. I mean, like, it wasn't a Nintendo Direct. It wasn't a press conference. That's all that's being said, right? Like, like it being farted out, like, all these things are just farted out to some extent, but I don't think it'll
be nobody's doing anything, just farting around.
I do think it'll be a standalone bespoke piece of content that goes out, and I imagine yes, they will also tease it. It won't just randomly, there's not just gonna be an announcement of the next Nintendo console, there'll be an announcement of that announcement,
announcement of announcement,
which God, I'm excited for.
And do you think like the big like conference that they did for like, kind of diving into the Switch and stuff, do you think it'll be as goofy for the follow-up console as it was for the original Switch? Because let me tell you, when they
hope not.
Presented, I hope so. Remember ARMS? Remember when horrible. They presented ARMS? Fucking awesome.
And 1-2 so Switch, good. That stupid ass couch, Octopath Traveler.
Oh, come on, the stupid couch!
That presentation, man, I have never, rarely been that deflated. I was so goddamn hyped, and just from presentation alone, that was a disaster. It ended with the Zelda trailer, which was one of the hypest things in the entire world to this day, like 6 seconds of Mario Odyssey footage. But I hope that I feel like they've learned too. That was back when Furukawa, I think his name is, the president, that when he was like still new, and like that was like his first like coming out party and the whole the Switch snap and all that stuff. And I feel like they've reined him in a bit, and he's kind of focused, I think, a little bit more. And I think that the direct style is the right way to go.
I'm excited to see more about that. But it's so far away.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not time for the list. Yeah. Number two on the Rope Report, we have your Venba review roundup. Of course, Venba, you might remember from PS I Love You XOXO. Abby, the developer, is a kind of funny best friend, came on through and gave us the press presentation he gave, and we got to ask questions live to it. Currently has a Metacritic of 80 and an Open Critic of 81 over at Eurogamer. Ahmad? Imad gave it a 4 out of 5 and said, the art style of Venba is wonderful. Each frame looks like a crude but intentional painting. I wanted to take a screenshot every few seconds, similar to my experience with Hi-Fi Rush earlier this year. And although the vignette style story left me wanting more, I knew I was already satisfied after the first couple of scenes. Venba's simple gameplay allows you to enjoy its story more, and though its presence is a temporary... And though its presence is as temporary as a 90-minute movie, the rarity of such experiences always leave you feeling good once the credits start to roll. The day prior to playing Venba, my sister and I made biryani together. But after this experience, I wanted to do it all over again. Nicole Carpenter over at Polygon gave it a recommends. What Venba adds up to is a short, touching story about the life of an Indian-Canadian family. The beauty and joy of Tamil culture alongside the struggle of immigrant parents and their kid. It's a complex relationship depicted between parents and a kid as their son pushes away from Tamil culture in exchange for fitting in. The food and recipes evolve alongside this changing relationship and help move the game along in a way that feels focused and natural. I would have loved more Venba with his vibrant sound, touching story, and mouthwatering food, and yet I feel like Visai Games has told a complete focused story. And then Hiron Cryer over at Games Radar gave it a 4.5 out of 5 stars. Venba perfectly melds together a story of generational anxieties and dreams.
That food looked good.
It sure does. That's all well and good. Greg Miller here played it. Platinum, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
Hey.
I give it a 4 out of 5 on the Kind of Funny scale. I say it's a great game. Echo everything everybody said here. What I like about it is also what people are calling out as being a little heartbreaking about it is like it's done so quickly. Mm. It is a short game, but it packs a punch. It packs a wallop. It is a visual treat. I like the idea. Of course, if you didn't watch the PS I Love You stuff, you've missed all the stuff about it. The idea here is that, you know, you play as Venba. You are starting a family away from India in Canada. You're connecting through your culture with food, but the recipe book your mom gave you is damaged. So it's a game of guessing and trying to figure out what to do. And you can be wrong, but it doesn't fail or anything like that. The food was great. It looked great. It honestly was one of those that, like, you know, I've started eating Indian food. And I'm not saying so because popular. Of Venba, but it was helpful in terms of like, oh, okay. And then I also made a curry for Ben. I was like, oh, okay, I get this a bit more and I'm into it. And now I'm eating it. But aside from the food is the story. And yes, at the end, I wanted more, but I didn't want more in the way I was unsatisfied. I just enjoyed the experience so much. I wanted more of it, but I'm kind of happy it ends where it is because it goes out leaving me wanting more. As I put in my tweet that Barrett showed there, but maybe you're an audio listener, like it subverted expectations as well. Like I felt like, okay, I see where we're going. I see where we're going. And then the ending, I was like, oh, I didn't see this coming. I thought it was going to go a different way or, you know, the relationships would be in a different spot.
In a satisfying way?
Very much so.
Oh.
Yeah, I thought it was a very, it was a very honest portrayal of an ending. And I don't want to say too much, obviously. I'm not trying to give stuff away. But I thought it was going a very Hollywood way and it ended in a very real way. I was like, oh, okay, that's very interesting. I like that a lot. I highly recommend it. You know, for me, you could platinum it on one playthrough. I did two, which got more out of it, which I liked and gave a little bit more context to what I was doing because I don't look at trophies usually before I go. I had a great time with it, though. I really do recommend it. They did land it. You know, congrats to Abby, of course. Like I said, Kind of Funny best friend. He's been watching us forever. So, you know, good day for him and all that. I mean, Abby's a Kind of Funny best friend, so already I'm in the tank for it. Pop Agenda, of course, Jen's company did do marketing and stuff for it, so heads up on that. But again, plenty of their games are dog shit, and I say it. So, yeah, I had a great time with this one. And I do think, you know, I echo everything that's here, and one thing I didn't say is how beautiful it is. Like, the first post from Imad, right, was talking about wanting to take a screenshot all the time.
Yeah.
All the time I was using the capture button just to capture stuff I thought was good. It has such a storybook feel and look to it.
Cool style, man. Yeah. It's very unique. And so, yeah, it looks like it's on multiple consoles too.
It's pretty much everywhere. So, yeah. It's pretty much everywhere.
Cool.
Go get it, everybody.
That's awesome, man. Hey, we've just been having some bang. I mean, this has been such a great year, obviously, for AAA games that we keep talking about. But there's been a lot of indies too that are just kind of like shining. And I'm happy that it feels like
there's too much to play.
Yeah. Exactly, but I love that it does feel like, even though there's too much to play, it feels like everything has room to shine enough. Like, good on y'all.
Number 3 on the Roper Report, Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion is getting a remake, it's claimed. This is Chris Scullion over at VGC. It's been claimed that the studio co-developing the upcoming Metal Gear Solid 3 remake is also working on a remake of the Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion. A Reddit user said to be a former employee of Virtuous, made the claim in a now deleted post on Gaming Leaks and Rumors subreddit, as reported by Xfire. The user was reportedly verified by the subreddit's mods as being a legitimate former Virtuous employee. If this verification process was accurate, it could lend more credibility to their claims. According to the user, Virtuous is working on 5 separate projects, of which the remake of Metal Gear Solid 3 is only one. The user claims that the studio is also working on Project Alter, which they say is either a remake or remaster of Oblivion, which will make use of a pairing system that will run the game on both Unreal Engine 5 and the Oblivion engine. Quote, for instance, new graphics are rendered in the Unreal Engine 5 project, but most of the gameplay, physics, etc. are still done in the Oblivion engine, they claim. They also say the project will be released at the end of 2024 or early 2025, quote, depending mostly on if it's a remake or a remaster, end quote, and that the game is mostly being made in Virtuous's Paris studio. Other projects Virtuous is working on, according to the user, are Massive, parentheses, described as Monster Hunter crossed with Shadow of the Colossus, an expansion for Amazon MMO New World, and a narrative climbing game codenamed Ominous. Do you believe it, Tim?
I mean, it makes sense, right? When you look at the amount of games that have been remastered or remade or whatever you want to call it these days,
sure.
I feel like we're getting to the point that there are a few obvious choices that haven't seen that treatment yet.
Yeah.
I feel like we talk a lot about Simpsons Hit and Run, where it's like, we're at that point. If we got SpongeBob Battle for Bikini Bottom getting remade, we're going to be getting Simpsons Hit and Run at some point. And I feel like that being the more... You know, that's a different type of game, but I feel like on the bigger side, yeah, this makes a ton of sense. And I'm hopeful that Virtuous can knock these projects out of the park and become a blue point, you know, like kind of become an exciting name to hear that we're like going to be talking about like their next projects of like, what could it be? What could they be working on the same way that we do Blue Point? But they got to prove it first, right?
Like 100%.
I think Metal Gear. Remaking Metal Gear Solid 3 is all eyes on you.
Tall order.
Yeah, right, like you've got to get that right. And if you don't, that's your first impression. That is the big one. But if you get it right, you're swimming, baby.
You got it. You're off to the races. Yeah, I'll have to wait and see. Obviously, take all this with a grain of salt. Yeah, it makes sense. If I'm Microsoft and I have this war chest now of first-party games, and I have all these things that I want to do stuff with, while we work on Starfield, while we work on the next Fallout, while you work on, you know, the list goes on of everything that's going on, why not dip back in and go to something like Oblivion that has that audience of people who love it? But I never played Oblivion. I started at IGN right around the Horse Armor DLC when everybody was flipping out about that, but I never went in and jumped into Oblivion. Starfield. Skyrim was my first, like, Bethesda open world Elder Scrolls RPG, right? And so, like, to go back in, drop this in there, hey, here's this game that, you know, so many people love and has spawned, you know, such a legacy.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I feel like Oblivion was a big turning point for Xbox as a brand and as a console, where I remember so many people being PS2 people and then making the jump over to 360. And I feel like the big wins that they would talk about would be this Elder Scrolls was one of them. And it being kind of like, I know there were Elder Scrolls on console before. I mean, even Morrowind, right, was on the original Xbox, I think. You're on me about that.
That's right.
But Oblivion was different. Oblivion was one of those ones where all the magazines were talking about, like, yo, this is a must play. Like, this is one of the console's best. So I feel like, yeah, to your point, Skyrim was like the big breakout. It seems silly to say, but like, we all get it. Skyrim was different, right? Skyrim was like, well, it's kind of like The Witcher and then The Witcher 3.
Yeah.
Like 100%. Skyrim is like that, where then people are like, oh, I am interested in going back. So, yeah, totally makes sense, especially, in a time now where it's like, yeah, even just look at this year, we have Metroid Prime Remastered, we have Dead Space Remake, we have Resident Evil 4 Remake, like somewhere in those, yeah, an Oblivion remake, remaster, whatever, sounds perfect.
We'll have to wait and see, ladies and gentlemen. Just like you, if you're not a subscriber on patreon.com/kindoffunny, why, you may say, well, guess what? We're about to go to sponsors, but if you're on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you don't have to listen to any of our shows or watch any of our shows with ads. Plus, you get a bevy of bonus content. You will get an amazing freaking shirt this very week, this month in August, when that starts off. And then so much more, of course. You can watch the recorded podcast live today, Kind of Funny Podcast. Tim's dressed up for it. I got a question. There's a million things happening on Patreon, but you're not there. So here's a word from our sponsor. Tim, We talked about Virtuous Studios maybe doing this Elder Scrolls remake slash remaster slash maybe who knows what it is. But you want to talk about these other games. What you got to say?
Yeah, just real quick, because they're talking about a game called Massive, a Monster Hunter cross with Shadow of the Colossus. Uh-huh. That's interesting.
Sure.
Right? Like, that's a pretty cool idea. I don't know how exactly that would work, but I guess just
bigger monster
scale.
Yeah.
Right?
I grab one leg, you grab the other leg, we crawl up there. We both get to the nut bag. We got
the nut bag. Amazon
like
MMO.
Fight, Nick.
New world thing here. And then a narrative climbing game, codenamed Ominous.
I feel like we have a lot of those right now.
What is that? Is that Uncharted?
Like, I mean, there's that one where you climb a mountain and there's a narrative. I mean, I don't remember. Kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong. Tell me which one I'm thinking of. It's an
there's
indie
Celeste.
Game.
That was a PlayStation Showcase. Game, okay. I think, right?
Yeah, I can't remember. I wanted to say Annapurna.
And yeah, then there is Celeste, which Barrett,
Toussaint.
Yeah,
God of War 2018.
But that's my thing, though, right? It's like, that's interesting. I kind of like that, but I don't know. The narrative climbing game just sounds very.
You put narrative on it, I'm excited.
Oh, of course.
Let's go. You got a narrative? Is it a different culture?
It's going to transport,
going to take me away.
We're going to climb a mountain. Someone's going to get divorced. Greg's going to cry.
I'd hope they're already divorced if they're climbing the market.
It needs to
but
be
maybe they get
a
to
metaphor
the top
for
and their
something.
Partners or ex-partners up there too, and they were like, you know what? This is the wrong. We got to come back together.
Yeah.
And then they bring light back to the world. I don't know. I'm a spitballing guy. I'm just spitballing things. Indie bring devs, light. You know what you're doing better than me. You've all had a much worse life than me, and you put it into video games. Number four on the Roper Report, Helldivers 2. Could release this October. It goddamn better. This is Tom Henderson at Insider Gaming. We're running out of time in 2023. Mm-hmm. Arrowhead, put a release date on it. Helldivers 2 could be releasing this October, according to a Sony partnership program mission briefing, which was sent to Insider Gaming under the condition of anonymity. According to the mission briefing, which appears to be a mistake on behalf of the publisher, creators are told to, quote, mention that the game will be released this October, end quote. Will be released in October, end quote. Unfortunately, though, no exact date was provided. The news comes in light of a new update on Reddit, which reveals that Helldivers 2 has officially been rated. Helldivers 2 needs to come out stat.
I don't know, Greg. I don't know about
stat.
That. I would argue it should come out in January. This is a January game. This is not an October game. Especially when October has
Spider-Man.
Mario Wonder and Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
You know?
I'm talking about PlayStation
like
real estate.
If they could get this thing out next week, yes. It'd be fantastic.
Yes.
Right? Because looking at August, it's relatively slow compared to the last couple months we have. We have Armored Core 6, but that's at the end of the month.
Besides and I know a lot of people want to pop off about Baldur's Gate 3, but remember that is not coming to PlayStation in August.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's my big thing is I want this needs to be out there to compete with when everybody's like, oh man, look at me. I'm over here. Guess what I'm doing? I'm in a star field. I'm an astronaut with a gun. Oh my God. I found this alien. It's got 3 miles. What am I going to do? You know what I mean? Like that's its own thing. All right. That's over on Xbox.
You going to punch the nut bag?
You'll be punching nut bags left and right in Helldivers
it's
too.
True. It's
Arrowhead.
True.
Put a date on it.
But, I mean, real talk, what do you think the right strategy would be for Helldivers 2?
Because I mean, the right strategy is you're on the money right now.
I feel
drop a PlayStation. Hey, guess what? Here's a PlayStation exclusive multiplayer fun jump in, jump out kind of thing. Let's go.
Because I feel like if it's not literally the next 3 weeks, the rest of this year, I just think is a little too crowded for this type of game where we have September where there's a lot of big titles, Starfield, the Mortal Kombat, things like that. Then October is just ridiculously stacked, including Alan Wake 2, which we didn't mention yet. November kind of seems...
You're still playing your October games.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And also, like, there's going to be... When's Mirage out? Assassin's Creed Mirage?
Mirage is out 8 days before Spider-Man 2 and Mario.
Eight days away.
But November, I just feel like, is a tough time. November, December is always, like, more tough just because of the amount of things going on in life. This is a January game. Listen to me.
January would fit real well. Yeah, hey, we're here. It's a new year. We want to play new games. This game's dropping. It's 4-player co-op. Let's jump in. Let's kill some stuff, some bugs. Let's get out there. Why not? Yeah. But yeah.
Bugging.
October is crowded. Looking at September. Liza P.
Oh, yeah. Liza P.
Same Cyberpunk, Phantom Kombat. Liberty.
Oh, yeah. Cyberpunk.
Liza P. Same day as what?
Mortal Kombat.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Hold on. Mortal Kombat. Isn't that September?
That's what I was talking about. Liza P. September.
Oh, I thought you said October.
19th. No, September 19th. Mortal Kombat 19th.
Kevin's mom's birthday. It's about
13 days before that is Starfield.
Yeah.
12 days before that is Armor Core. I'm tired.
That's good, man. Let's
go. It's great. But yeah, I do worry about, you know, how many people I'm going to get going there. I want to be hell diving. Right now would be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do it, though. Speaking of Assassin's Creed Mirage, Greg Way, number 5 on the Roper Report, Assassin's Creed Mirage is 3 times shorter than Valhalla, apparently. This is George Yang over at GameSpot. It seems like Assassin's Creed Mirage will be around 3 times shorter than Assassin's Creed Valhalla. The most recent entries in the franchise have gotten increasingly long, and the upcoming one has been pitched as a more focused experience. In an interview with French video game YouTuber Julien Cheese, translated by PC Games N, Ubisoft lead producer Fabian Solomon said, quote, "Given that we do a lot of playtesting internally at Ubisoft, it's part of our process. We really want to get as close as possible to the players. So we'll say that the latest playtimes we received average at around 20 to 23 hours, end quote. Solomon continued, quote, "That can go up to 25 to 30 hours for the completionists, and we'll say that those who will be rushing the game will be around 20 hours, end quote. In 2020, GameSpot noted that Assassin's Creed Valhalla took around 60 hours to complete the main story after 65 hours. After 65 hours, around 85% of the entire game was finished, which includes side quests." I don't know what the fuck they were doing. I'm like 75 hours, and I can't even be remotely close to anything.
Look, I love this, but let's take it even further. You know what I mean? I'm looking for 10 times. 10
hours.
Shorter,
10
you know?
Hours. Yeah.
8 to 10 hours, man. I feel like that would just be so damn nice.
Yeah.
But, even this, it's a step in the right direction. I think this is great. I feel like there's a place for the giant games. Obviously, people really enjoy them. They love them. They buy them. They play them. They review well. So, cool. They're out there. But, man, I do miss an 8-hour game. And every once in a while, we get them. But I feel like we don't get them with this level of production and this level of, like, oomph behind it all.
Sure.
So
you don't get the suits where you feel the stabbies, you know?
Yes, exactly. There's that, too.
Putting on my suit, getting stabbed. Let's go. Have some fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to talk about a game, we just referenced it, and especially to talk about like Helldivers trying to find a date, but a game that I feel like is just getting lost is Assassin's Creed Mirage.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, Bear, what's your hype level for Mirage?
Very hyped.
Do you feel excited
for that game.
Do you feel like the rest of the world's sleeping on it, or do you feel like it's getting the right amount of hype? Because that's a game I forget about every time we talk about games coming up this year.
I know, but you're also like what we call Mike a AAA slut. Like, you're an Assassin's Creed open world slut.
That's,
you know?
Correct. I'll be sucking and fucking each and every one of them.
And they're nutbags.
I feel like it's speaking to the OG Assassin's Creed crowd. Outside of that, I don't see a lot of talk about it. But granted, when you have a 2-month kind of timeline of Starfield and Mortal Kombat and Spider-Man 2, especially in a time where like AC took a break for a couple years outside of DLC, right? I don't know. I just that's a franchise that's always kind of, I never feel like there's excitement going into it. And then when it comes out, people are like, oh, yeah, this one's great. Or, you know, with Valhalla, it was a little bit more of like, oh, there's too much, or, oh, yeah, it's so good and stuff like that. So I never feel like there's a lot of discussion before an AC game. But I'm personally super stoked for it. I'm stoked for, you know, like a 20-hour experience akin to Assassin's Creed 2 and Black Flag and all that stuff. So sign me the fuck up.
With these type of games, Barrett, with Mirage specifically, like, do you think you're going to platinum this one?
No, I don't platinum Assassin's Creed games. There's usually way too much fucking stuff to do.
But even this one's more focused, like they're saying here.
I mean, when I did Assassin's Creed in review, which you can check out over on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, I didn't platinum. Like, I went back and played AC2, Brotherhood, like all through like the Ezio collection on PS4. Like, I didn't platinum those games. I did enough of the open world stuff that I felt like personally engaged in, interested in stuff, but I'm not a huge platinum head. I try to get one platinum a year. That's always like my little goal. And it's usually like a smaller game or an easier game. Like Spider-Man 2 will most likely be the game that I platinum, because it's just like there is open world stuff to do, but it's usually pretty simple to get through. So, yeah.
Watched the movie Significant Other over the weekend. You seen this or heard about this? It's a Paramount Plus horror movie.
Oh, is this the horror movie?
Yeah.
But not the one with Reese Witherspoon and Ashton
Kutcher? No, no, I don't know what that one is. It's got the guy from White Lotus who looks like Christopher Reeve, and then it's got the woman from It Follows in it. That's the best I can help you with. Doesn't matter who they are, though. But the idea here is that an alien comes to Earth and starts like doing shit or whatever. But you know what it really made me think a lot about? Fucking Spider-Man 3. Remember when the goddamn symbiote just landed next to Spider-Man? Yeah. That was how they did that. That's how they explained
that
it. Landed next to Peter Parker's moped and got on him that way.
Yeah.
I remember, you want to talk about, like,
I do, Greg.
Toxic fandom.
Mm-hmm.
That was me in that theater watching that movie.
Yeah. Because
I remember, like, I'm watching Spider-Man 1. I can't, in that period pieces, obviously, but like, oh my God, what a great movie. Spider-Man 2, they ended there together, blah, blah. I'm like, Sam Raimi can do no wrong. So when Spider-Man 3 comes around, we're talking about the symbiote. I'm doing, like, you hate me now, and I understand that, but you would have loved Young Greg.
Of course.
Because Young Greg stars in his eyes. I'm watching Spider-Man 2 again, and I'm like, look at how J. Jonah
Jameson.
On your
UMD? On your PlayStation Portable?
I wasn't
watching
the UMDs. You know what I'm about to, brother. Watch how J. Jonah Jameson's son, the astronaut, makes this leap, and the cops won't do it. I'm like, he's got the symbiote. That's how they're going to explain it. This is going to be fucking awesome. And Sam Raimi came out dressed like a goddamn naval officer and just shit all over it.
So good.
Couldn't even watch WandaVision. Gonna make a Wanda movie. Can't even watch WandaVision.
Fucking Sam Raimi. You know what I mean?
Stick to Evil Dead, Sam.
I'm with
landed you. Next to him. They were like, That's
it.
Well, this is the best we can do. We got a lot to shove in this movie for no reason.
Greg.
We'll just have it land next to him.
I know we're going long on this already.
The 8 billion people on the planet, this thing lands next to Spider-Man.
Of course it does. Of course it does. I'm a little worried about Spider-Man 2 from Insomniac. I shouldn't be, and I'm actually not. I'm just being dramatic here.
Sure, I like it.
But, like, it's hard to get a Venom story right.
Venom.
It's real hard, man. Mm-hmm. And, like, I feel like they're going to do it. I feel like they're going to pull it off. But, like, we'll see, man. They're playing with fire here.
They know that.
Yeah.
I think, and that's what I keep going back to when this comes up in conversation. And, like, Insomniac knows what they're up against. They know how we all talk about it and what's in Spider-Man getting, you know, not screwed over, but not getting Game of the Year awards because it was up. I think there's a lot of chips on a lot of shoulders in Insomniac, and I think they're going to come out swinging. And
swinging?
Swinging from the old nutbag. Number 6 on the Roper Report. Hit MMO. Final Fantasy 14 is finally, and The Rock means finally, coming to Xbox. This is Ethan Gotch over at Kotaku. At long last, Xbox owners will soon get to enjoy the MMORPG PlayStation players have enjoyed for nearly a decade. Final Fantasy XIV is headed to Xbox Series X/S in spring 2024 after being a PlayStation console exclusive since 2014. Producer and director Naoki Yoshida. Right? I got that.
Naoki Yoshida
made the announcement on stage at the game's 2023 Fan Fest in Las Vegas, Nevada, alongside Microsoft's gaming CEO, Phil Spencer. The Xbox Series X/S version will offer 4K graphics and faster load times like its PlayStation 5 counterpart. While the full release is still almost a year away, an open beta will be available for players to try much sooner when patch 6.5X arrives in the months ahead. Congratulations, Xbox.
Hell yeah, man. This is great.
Congratulations, fans.
Very surprised it took this long.
Yeah.
But happy it's happening. I feel like Final Fantasy 14 is a platform to itself, and I love that more people are going to be able to play this thing. I feel like that's just great. I'm sure Michael Heim is extremely excited about it.
I'm sure he is. And God bless you, Michael Heim. Get out there and enjoy things. Number 7 on the Roper Report. PS5 beta finally adds support for Dolby Atmos HDMI devices, among other things. This is Wesley Yin Poole at IGN. Sony is rolling out a new PlayStation 5 beta that adds a number of new features, including Dolby Atmos HDMI device support. The new update, released today in beta form, adds audio options that allow 3D audio powered by Tempest 3D Audio Tech to be used with compatible Dolby Atmos-enabled HDMI devices such as soundbars, TVs, or home theater systems. Go wide,
what? It's happening?
You had your hands up this entire time. I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
You read this headline, and I was like, no, this can't be. What? This is a game changer for me and me alone, Greg.
Yeah, it's a big deal for you.
PlayStation's 3D audio is fantastic. The Tempest stuff is so good, but it's been limited to just the freaking headphones, or even worse, TV speakers. What the fuck? No.
Yeah.
I've had to just sit with like 7.1. No, that's not good enough. I want Dolby Atmos.
Not good.
This is such a game changer. I mean, I hope this gets out before Spider-Man 2.
It's the beta right now.
Oh, man.
It'll be tight, but it might.
Yeah.
You can also just get into the beta.
Yeah. What's the word? But I mean, the compatibility of it all. This is exciting. Sorry, keep going.
No, you're fine. I'm glad you're excited. The beta also includes more options to quickly find games and console tips, new ways to connect with other players and customize your multiplayer sessions, and support for larger capacity M.2 SSDs up to 8 terabytes. Holy shit. New accessibility features mean you can now assign a second controller to one account as an assist controller and use two controllers to operate PS5 as if you were using a single controller. This means you can now play games collaboratively with others or help a friend or child play a difficult section of a game. Meanwhile, there is now an option to turn on haptic feedback effects while using your PS5 with DualSense controller, the DualSense Edge controller, or PSVR 2 Sense controllers. This means system sound effects for certain events, such as checking a box, or when you get a notification or boot up a game, are reflected physically through haptics. Improvements to social features include a party UI update, which means you can now invite a player into a closed party without automatically adding the player into the group or creating a new group, and share screen preview, which means when someone's sharing their screen in a party, you can join. You'll now see a preview image of their share screen even before you enter the party. Hopefully, you can now react to messages with emojis. Other highlights include the ability to search for games in your library. And it was already there. This is a typo. There you go. It got boring after the first part, but yeah.
This is super, super, super exciting to me. Like, legitimately, this has been such a leg up for Xbox for me, where yeah. It's like when there's third-party games, oftentimes I will want to play the Xbox version just because of the Dolby support. And I've always been bewildered that they wouldn't allow this and that it was just for the TV speakers and not for a home theater setup, which would make so much more sense for 3D audio. But this is really exciting. That's awesome. The advancements in SSD...
Put in the big drive. Put that big drive in there.
Up to 8 terabyte. That's insane.
Shove it in.
8 terabyte SSDs like that. Like that's. I don't even know that they exist. I'm sure they do, but like I
WD Black is making them right now.
Yeah. 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 But hey, this is all great stuff, and this is what happens when we're this many years into a console's life cycle. But I appreciate that the tech. Someone's out there caring about this stuff. And the haptic feedback stuff sounds cool too. Like these all just sound like great quality of life stuff that people are actually asking for. And now if I'm this excited about the Dolby thing, I hope there's people out there that are just as excited about some of these other updates.
M. Dwan is going off in the chat over and over again saying you can mute the beep now. Did I read that and it didn't register? Or is it that you're saying like it wasn't in there that you're going to be able to mute the fucking beep like when you go beep beep when it turns back? Like this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I got to get you off the ground, PlayStation 5. Because again, mm-hmm. they were down, people were sleeping in my entertainment area. So I brought my PlayStation to the upstairs TV. But then I was like, all right, well, now Ben is going to, you know, be crawling around here today. I got to yank it out. I'm like, I'm sorry. You're going to bitch at me later. Just yank the power right out of it.
It gets so mad at you.
Beep, 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 beep.
I do like the beep though.
Yep,
I wouldn't want to
mute,
mute
the beep.
Beep
now. The beep calls out every time. Yes, the piercing beep you can mute. And they say everything is just for turning it on as well. Cool.
Jesse Reed saying Corsair makes an 8 terabyte M2 drive. It's $875. Yeah, that is prohibitively expensive, but very cool. And a couple years from now, that'll be affordable.
Yeah. Eighth and final story for your Monday as you start your week. Hasbro wants Xbox to bring back Activision's Transformer games via Game Pass. What a headline. Jordan Midler at VGC. Hasbro has said it would like to see Microsoft revive Activision's old Transformer games via Game Pass. Activision released several Transformer games during the Xbox 360 era that are now no longer purchasable digitally due to licensing issues. These are the ones from High Moon Studio, right?
Yeah, so War for Cybertron, Fall of Cybertron, and then there was also one that was... if I remember correctly, there was two more. One was Transformers Dark of the Moon, like licensed game based on the movie. Yeah. And then there was one that was like a weird multiverse thing that was like the movie characters with the
cartoon
ball and war for Cybertron characters.
We're still in the article here, sorry. However, now following the imminent deal that would see Microsoft own Activision, Hasbro is hopeful this could spark a revival. During an interview with Transformers World, the Hasbro team said, quote, sadly, apparently Activision's not sure what hard drives they're on in their building. When a company eats a company that eats a company, things get lost. And that's very frustrating. Hope is that now that the deal is moving forward with Microsoft and Xbox, they'll go through all of the archives in every hard drive to find it all because it's an easy Game Pass ad. We want those games back up for people to have a chance to play, end quote.
I have been wanting to replay these games for so long, and they do not make it easy at all. But yeah, they're very, very great games. Like 8.5s, but like hard 8.5.
I remember these being a big deal at the time.
Yeah, and they're awesome. Like they're legitimately awesome, cool story. Like just it's dope. It's a Transformers game, and it's like it wasn't them trying to like serve anything, but just making a dope Transformers game. And these were coming out at a time that the brand wasn't tainted yet. Like it wasn't like, you know, now everyone hears Transformers and it's like eye roll or like, oh, Michael Bay, worst things ever. Like this was, I feel like, a pillar of Transformers. Like, are you kidding? Look at that Triptychon out there, man. A big ass dinosaur robot.
Yeah.
So sick. It's also a mobile base, Greg.
It's also a Triptychon is also a chemical in Turkey that makes you sleepy on Thanksgiving.
Wow. I hope this happens though.
Well, I can't wait to see if they find these hard drives, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
But that's so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grop shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today. Trine 5, A Clockwork Conspiracy is on everything. Rise of the Triad, Ludicrous's Edition is on PC. F1 Manager 2023 is on everything but Switch. Gust of the Wind is in early access on PC. Venba is on everything. And Aria's Melody is on everything as well. Deals of the day for you. Venba is up right now on Xbox Game Pass and PC Game Pass. So Xbox and PC Game Pass. You can just go get Venba right there and you should because it's great. We ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames and youtube.com/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up.
What?
You're wrong. I said like Vince McMahon though.
Yeah.
Ian Call says, let's get real. Wearing black in the sun is a heat risk, not a myth. Respect the sun or meet your peril. Bander SN says, Grezzo is currently working on Jet Dragon for iPhone. Their last game was a Miitopia remake. Yeah, in 2021. Nawaji's Eyes says, I said it Tamil. I said, well, no, I don't know. But it's called Tamil. Tamil culture. Tamil food. Thank you very much. This is part of the problem for Abby. He made a great game, but there's no VO. So you know what I mean? I'm reading off the page. I'm doing my best out there. Similarly, Tundra Boy says, Jusant was shown during the Xbox Bethesda showcase this year, not the PlayStation showcase. Great. I don't know what this is, and there's no source. We didn't do anything wrong there. I don't know about this thing either. Okay, a deal of the day for you from Charles Jacobson. You can get the WD Black 4 terabyte SSD for 60% off on Amazon right now. 1 gigabyte is 63% off.
Oh, God. Fucking God damn it. Here we go.
Oh, no, don't. Cozy Bear's coming in here carrying water for Sam Raimi. His name was on the fucking picture. All right? You know what happens when he's like, I'm gonna read it. And then I'm going to tell you about a real
away,
man,
Greg.
All right? A real director. Cozy Bear says, Spider-Man 3 and its inclusion of Venom. Sam Raimi has gone on the record that he originally had no interest in including Venom in Spider-Man 3, but the producer, Avi Arad, forced him to shoehorn the character in after much protest. Spider-Man 3 is a crappy film, and Raimi is responsible for a lot of the issues, but the Venom stuff is more the fault of Sony being greedy in terms of its villainous inclusions. You know who's a real director? Bear, give me the one. We got there. You know who's a real director? Richard Donner, all right? When they started jerking his chain around about Superman, he fucking walked off. Why Superman 1's weird, and then Superman 2, film the same, but they're like Superman 2, and you got the Donner cut, but it's really just a combination. That Sam Raimi should have done that. He should have taken off his little Navy suit, walked the fuck out. Said, you know what? I'm not going to ruin this motion picture. I'm not going to take one of the greatest, coolest characters, Venom, have him fucking land by Spider-Man's fucking foot. Nick, you remember this? Spider-Man 3. Venom, the symbiote just lands next to him.
Topher Grace. That was another choice.
And that's another thing we'll get into right now. Topher Grace, and I don't do it, all right? I don't need anybody sending me the controversy links on Wikipedia for Richard Donner or Topher Grace, all right? I don't know. I don't need to know. Topher Grace, raw deal, all right? Could have been a cool Venom. Fucked it all up. I'll never forgive you, Sam Raimi. Watch WandaVision.
Greg, did you see that Rolling Stone today posted their top 50 superhero movies of all time list, and number one was Zack Snyder's Justice League, but then they realized they're like, oh, fuck, we made a mistake, and they posted the list backwards, so it's actually number 50. So there was a moment where, like, all the Zack Snyder people were like,
We did it!
But they're like, wait, why is number two Ghost Rider or some shit like that?
Oh, my God, that's incredible. That is fucking incredible. What was number one for real?
I don't know.
Probably Dark Knight.
Probably Dark Knight. Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Or like one of the Spider-Man.
While Tim looks that up, ladies and gentlemen, I'll remind you that this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show for free at kindoffunny.com/KFGD. If you really like it, go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, where, of course, you could support us. Keep the lights and mics on. Keep us happy. Make sure we can keep doing cool shit for you. Of course, you could also get each and every episode ad-free. You can watch and record the podcast live as we record them a day early. You can get those on demand ad-free. You get 300 episodes, and you're going to love the shirt the premium tier next month.
I'm going to do this real quick. The top 10. Number 10, Incredibles.
Okay.
Number 9, Wonder Woman.
Huh. Ooh.
Number 8, Thor Ragnarok. Number 7, The Dark Knight.
Oh,
whoa.
Jesus, here we go. This sounds like this should have been a shit list.
6, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Okay. That's okay. Very, I mean, okay, I would put it higher probably, but yeah.
Number 5, Superman 1978.
Yeah.
Your boy.
Yeah. You don't know. You're wearing Superman in a review and you're going to go, like, I don't get it. But it was such a big deal, like making the genre.
Number 4, Endgame.
Sure.
Number 3, Logan.
Okay.
Number 2, Spider-Man 2. Hell number yeah. 1, Black Panther.
Huh.
Look, hey, whatever.
I think it's a solid top 10.
It's solid.
Yeah.
Don't agree with all the choices, but I get it, though. I get it. You know what else I get, Greg? The MCU. What are we going to have to do right after this show?
We're going to live react to the Loki trailer for season 2, first time we ever watched it. Also, don't forget, I don't think we even talked about it, but Secret Invasion MCU in review is up right now.
That's true.
In review podcast feeds. And let me tell you, Nick and I put on a hell of an episode.
Great episode. Whether or not you've watched Secret Invasion, please watch this in review.
Exactly. We all understand. You've seen the reviews. A lot of people are like, oh, we don't want to watch Secret Invasion. First off, we summarize it perfectly for you, and I let you know if you can jerk off to Bridgerton season 2.
He does, in way too explicit detail.
This week's host for Games Daily. Tomorrow, it's me and Bless. Wednesday, it's Mike and Bless. Thursday, it's Bless and Tim. Friday, it is Tim and Bless. If you are watching live right now, we're going to do that live reaction to Loki, and then a brand new episode of Kinda Munchies is happening all on the stream. You miss any of that, it's up later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames.
And before that, Mike and Nick in the afternoon with possibly an update on the vision capability of one Snowbike Mike.
Big day here at Kinda Funny, so stay tuned to twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames and youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. You're gonna have to find the right streams as they happen, but just, you know, stay on it if you're on YouTube. It gets a little complicated out there in these streets.
I believe in you. You can figure out what to click on.
Mm-hmm.
Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you.